Welcome to the Jeffers Brief, only on Contra Radio Network.
Again, my fellow listeners, John Jeffers here, your host of the Jeffers Brief, only on Contra Radio Network. I am your founder, your host, and the executive producer here at CRN. It is July 3rd, a day before we celebrate this country's independence from the crown. And as our good friend Porky Wheel would say, you ungrateful peasants. That's true, we are, and we don't give a damn. Because we're Americans and we still don't give a damn. 240-something years later, we still don't give a damn. All right. Before we get started, where did I find that? Yeah, you know what? Don't forget, July giveaways are now underway. That's right. So go to the CRN or the MeWe page, and you will see a list of links. You'll have to scroll down because people keep adding stuff to it. Want to welcome Kalina S. to CRN. She's been on the friend list for a while. She just found out how cool it is to prep. How accomplished and exciting it feels to prep. How many of us remember that feeling when we first started? I do. And if you've lost that feeling or don't remember it, you got to get the fire back. You know what I'm saying? Right? There's something I want to get to you. I want to read to you because I like it. I find it quite interesting. It's a letter. Or maybe an article, perhaps. Let me scroll down to it. And then we're going to have a... I got a few other things. Is that right? It is. Here's the letter. The mayor of Livermore, California, explains Trump's popularity and success. This is perhaps the best explanation for Trump's popularity. Marshall Camina is a registered Democrat and was elected mayor of Livermore, California. He ran on the Democratic ticket as he knew a Bay Area city would never vote for Republican. However, he is as conservative as they come, and he wrote the following. Trump's lack of decorum, dignity, and statesmanship by Marshall Camina, mayor of Livermore, California. My leftist friends, as well as many ardent never-Trumpers, constantly ask me if I'm not bothered by Donald Trump's lack of decorum. They ask if I don't think his tweets are, you know, beneath the dignity of the office. Well, here's my answer. We right-thinking people have tried dignity. There could not have been a man of more quiet dignity than George W. Bush as he suffered the outrageous lies and politically motivated hatreds that undermined his presidency. We tried statesmanship. Could there be another human being on this earth who so desperately prized collegiality as John McCain? We had tried propriety. Has there been a nicer human being ever than Mitt Romney? And the results were always the same, and this is because while we were playing by the rules of dignity, collegiality, and propriety, the left has been, for the past 60 years, engaged in a knife fight where the only rules are those of Saul Alinsky and the Chicago mob. I don't find anything dignified, collegial, or proper about Barack Obama's lying about what went down on the streets of Ferguson in order to ramp up racial hatreds, because racial hatreds serve the Democratic Party. I don't see anything dignified in lying about the deaths of four Americans in Benghazi and imprisoning an innocent filmmaker to cover your tracks. I don't see anything dignified in lying about the deaths of four Americans in Benghazi and imprisoning an innocent... I don't see anything statesmanlike in weaponizing the IRS to be used to destroy your political opponents and any dissent. Yes, Obama was articulate and polished, but in no way was he in the least bit dignified, collegial, or proper. The left has been engaged in war against America since the rise of the Children of the 60s. That is code for the dirty hippies. To them, it has been an all-out war where nothing is held sacred and nothing is seen as beyond the pale. It has been a war they fought with violence, the threat of violence, demagoguery, and lies from day one. The violent takeover of the universities till today. The problem is that, through these years, the left has been the only side fighting this war. While the left has been taking a knife to anyone who stands in their way, the right has continued to act with dignity, collegiality, and propriety. With Donald Trump, this has all come to an end. Donald Trump is America's first wartime president in the culture war. I can't agree with that more. During wartime, things like dignity and collegiality simply aren't the most essential qualities one looks for in their warriors. Ulysses Grant was a drunk whose behavior in peacetime might have seen him drummed out of the army for conduct unbecoming. Had Abraham Lincoln applied the peacetime rules of propriety and booted Grant, the Democrats might still be holding their slaves today. Lincoln rightly recognized that I cannot spare this man. He fights. General George Patton was a vulgar talking. In peacetime, this might have seen him stripped of rank, but had Franklin Roosevelt applied the normal rules of decorum then, Hitler and the Socialists would barely be 5 decades into their 1,000-year Reich. Trump is fighting, and that's what's particularly delicious, is that, like Patton, standing over the battlefield as his tanks obliterated Rommel's, he's shouting, "You magnificent bastard, I read your book!" This is just icing on the cake, but it's wonderful to see that not only is Trump fighting, he's defeating the left using their own tactics. That book is Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, a book so essential to the liberals' war against America that it was the playbook for the entire Obama administration and the subject of Hillary Clinton's senior thesis. It is a book of such pure evil that, just as the rest of us would dedicate our book to those we most love or those to whom we are most indebted, Alinsky dedicated his book to Lucifer. Trump's tweets may seem rash and unconstitutional, but in reality, he's doing exactly what Alinsky suggested his followers do. First, instead of going, oh, that figures. Sorry, I have to call you back, Mom. It happens every time, doesn't it? He's doing exactly what Alinsky suggested his followers do. First, instead of going after the fake media, and they are so fake that they have literally gotten every significant story in the past 60 years, not just wrong, but diametrically opposed to the truth. From the Tet Offensive to Benghazi, to what really happened on the streets of Ferguson, Missouri, Trump isolated CNN and made it personal. Then, just as Alinsky suggests, he employs ridicule, which Alinsky describes as the most powerful weapon of all. Most importantly, Trump's tweets have put CNN in an untenable and unwinnable position. They need to respond. This leaves them with only two choices. They can either go high, as Hillary would disingenuously declare for herself, and the fake news would disingenuously report it as the truth, and begin to honestly and accurately report the news, or they can double down on their usual tactics and hope to defeat Trump with twice their usual hysteria and demagoguery. The problem for CNN and all the others, with the former, that is, they were to start honestly reporting the news. That would be the end of that Democratic Party they serve. It is nothing but the incessant use of fake news, also read as propaganda, that keeps the left alive. Imagine, for example, if CNN had honestly and accurately reported then-candidate Barack Obama's close ties to foreign terrorist Rashid Khalid, domestic terrorist William Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, the mafia Tony Resco, or the true evils of his spiritual mentor Jeremiah Wright's church. Imagine if they had honestly and accurately conveyed the evils of the Obama administration's weaponizing of the IRS to be used against their political opponents, or his rain of guns to the Mexican cartels, or the truth about the murder of Ambassador Christopher Stevens, and the Obama administration's cover-up. So, to my friends on the left and Never Trumpers as well, do I wish we lived in a time when our president could be collegial and dignified and proper? Of course I do. These aren't those times. This is war. And it's a war that the left has been fighting without opposition for the last 50 years. So say anything you want about this president. I get it. He can be vulgar. He can be crude. He can be undignified at times, but I don't care. I can't spare this man. He fights for America. Yes? Good? Bad? What? Talk to me here. All right. Let's get on it for you preppers. You new preppers especially. Clean, if you're listening, this is for you, dear. Let's talk about household survival. 15 life-saving items you probably already have. And if you have been prepping, it's time to maybe remind ourselves what we do truly have. For many of us who are new to prepping, become wrapped up in things we don't have, we scour the internet looking for prepper checklists, and there are millions out there. We look for ideas on the best handguns to purchase or the best firearms to have. We look at bug-out vehicles and survival bunkers and hidden retreats in the woods. It can be overwhelming, and it is. I know a lot of preppers, including me in the beginning, focus on things we felt we needed to get at the beginning. The sheer volume of things that make up all these lists can seem insurmountable, and you might even be wondering where to start. Well, how about starting in your home first, okay? This is from Final Prepper, and he's right. There are a lot of great household survival supplies that you as a prepper already have. I'm not saying you don't have to go look at other options for survival, but don't overlook the obvious either. A true prepper isn't defined necessarily by what they have, but more how they are prepared to deal with crisis, and looking at the items you have on hand is just one way to adjust your perception. So let's talk the first one. First one is bleach. Bleach is great for a couple things. First, you can use it to disinfect your surfaces because bleach will kill almost anything. Bleach could be used to sanitize your home should there be some infectious disease outbreak, and it can also be used to disinfect water, which could come in handy if for some reason the tap stops working and you have to get your water from alternate sources. For instance, if you have a lake or rain barrels for water collection, you'll want to disinfect that water before you drink it. Boiling is a better alternative, but bleach is great in a pinch. Bleach does have a shelf life, so don't forget that. You know, I am wondering what that shelf life is. Let me take a quick look at it. I will let you know. I will tell you what it is you need to know about this. What do we got here? What does it say? Bleach has a shelf life of 1 year. The Clorox website states that the overall answer is yes, but there are a couple of caveats. The active ingredient in liquid bleach is sodium hypochlorite, is very sensitive to high heat and freezing, but under normal home storage conditions, it should still perform well for 9 to 12 months. So if your storage conditions are either of these, then you will have irreversibly created salt and water. There you go. Da, 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 da. There you go, there's the answer. All right. Number two, towels. Do you have old towels lying in a closet somewhere? We have a ton hidden in a box that we use for all types of odd jobs. When the car needs washing, we break out the old towels. When the survival dog is wet from the rain, out come the towels. These old towels and rags have a use in survival situation too. They can be stitched together to make blankets. They can be shoved in cracks to keep drafts out. They can be ripped up to make diapers or bandages or fire starter. You can wrap them around hot pot handles to save your hands, too. Number three, dental floss. Dental floss makes great fishing line or emergency rope, although you would need a lot of it to make a rope, and that is assuming you don't have it, that wimpy wax tape they're now selling. Floss can be used to suture a wound as your noose and a small game snare or as a fishing line. I like to use it to keep my teeth clean, and I have some stock for that purpose, and I'll use the inner cords for my paracord for the other uses. Number four, feminine hygiene products. Okay. I know where they're going with this, and so do you. Well, you might be thinking that these are necessary for one thing, but think outside the box. These products are great for stopping blood, so in an emergency situation, they can save someone from bleeding to death. No, oh, this is so wrong. Tampons can be used to plug bullet wounds, and maxi pads make great pressure bandages. Curious as to how many of you actually use a tampon to plug a bullet wound. I would not do it. What about those makeup remover pads? They make great tinder for starting fires. You can actually soak them in paraffin wax, and they'll make starting fires a breeze, so they are a good addition to your bug out bag. Number five, duct tape. If you don't have at least one roll of 100-mile-an-hour tape in your home right now, I am pretty sure you are violating a natural law of some type. Duct tape is incredibly useful for making repairs on clothing or survival gear, patching holes, protecting your feet from blisters, and generally being awesome. All duct tape isn't made equal, though, and I recommend something like Gorilla Tape, which is much stronger than traditional duct tape. For a bug-out bag, I don't carry a whole roll. I take a plastic card, like a hotel key or an old credit card, and wrap about 20 feet of duct tape around the card. This way, I have plenty of duct tape if I need to, but do not have all the weight or space a whole roll takes up. You can even use it to make a sling. Number six, a garden hose. Garden hose can be used to do what it normally does, and that is transport water from one location to another. You can also use this as a siphon to get gas out of vehicles or storage tanks. You can also cut the hose and use it to protect your hands when you're dealing with wire. Just cut some of the hose off, slice it down one side, and slide the wire in. You can use the garden hose to set up a makeshift shower with a bucket of water hung on a tree in gravity. Let a large bucket of water sit in the sun for a few hours just until it gets warm. Set the hose in a bucket and get the water flowing much as you would in a siphoning gas, and you have a way to hose off with warm water. Number seven, tools and lumber. Hand tools will most likely be needed, as I don't want to use my gas to recharge electric tools. A hammer, some nails, and heavy-duty plywood can be used to seal openings and make your home more secure from intruders. Nailing windows shut can slow access, and repairs to all manner of items is easier with tools. You can also use box cutters and even lawnmower blades as defensive weapons. Number eight, cooking oil. So what do you do with the oil when you're out of the fish sticks and french fries? Make an oil lantern with it, that's right. Oil burns, so if you have a power blackout and you are fresh out of candles, you can use oil and a glass jar or small empty can to create a source of light in your home. Make sure you are careful, though, because any open flame can cause you more problems than it solves. Number nine, kitchen knives. Every kitchen in America must have that block of knives sitting on the counter that we got as a housewarming gift. Just because you don't have an expensive EDC knife on you doesn't mean you have to forego the disadvantages that knives offer. A good kitchen knife will cut just as well as the most tactical blades out there, and in a pinch, would be better than nothing. If you want to carry a knife, then you can make a sheath out of it with a plastic or cardboard and duct tape. Wrap a long piece of paracord around the handle to make the grip better, and you have your caveman survival knife. Number 10, tea bags. Tea bags are not only good for the beverage, as long as you have sugar or honey, but they are also a great homeopathic addition to your medical kit. You see, tea leaves contain tannins, which are a natural anti-inflammatory. Some people will use wet tea bags to reduce bags under their eyes, and you can use this for lots of other uses like bee stains, hemorrhoids, boils, not in that order, of course, but nonetheless. Number 11, toilet paper. If there is one prepper item that I have seen people obsess over more than anything, it is toilet paper. What will you do when the roll is all gone? I am thinking there are far bigger problems in the world if you can't buy toilet paper anymore, but let's say you have an abundance of the fluffy white stuff and are looking for other uses. You can twist toilet paper into a wick for a toilet paper wick heater, or your lamp oil, your oil lamp, or use it to start fires, apply medicine, or write notes on it. That's an old prison trick. What you do is, when you twist the toilet paper into a wick, you gotta wet it slightly, twist it, repeat to get a wick, let it dry. Number 12, canned food. Once you are done with the contents of your canned food, you can use them as containers. You can build that oil lamp. You can also use them to cook with over a fire when they are all done. You can strain empty cans together to make a hobo alarm system. They're on the wire! They're on the wire! Don't worry if the disaster left you a ton of cans, but no way to open them, because you can easily open a can without a can opener. Number 13. Potato chips. Believe it or not, you can use potato chips to start a fire. That is because they have so much fat and oil in them. I will add that this would be a really silly way to start a fire, because you are using food to make a fire when you should be unnecessarily in all but the most extreme circumstances. Maybe you're trapped in a Lay's warehouse or something and need a fire to keep warm. I added this just for kicks, but you should know how to start a fire using tinder and not food. It is possible, though. Number 14, a fire extinguisher. What in the hell is going on here? All right, enough of that. Not only can this be used to put out fires, you can also use it as a defensive weapon. Granted, I don't ever to be that close to a bad guy. I'd prefer to be shooting distance away, but in a pinch, you can use a fire extinguisher to blind someone. Spray them hard in the face, and while they're blinded, crack them over the head with the fire extinguisher. That sounds like a Dianne Feinstein defensive measure. 15, garbage bags. I don't know how many uses garbage bags have, but they're really just plastic sheets that's been folded or welded together. For example, you can use garbage bags to help your baby daddy move out of the house again, or your Section 8 apartment, whatever. We look at these as our go-to option for take out the trash, but they can also double as rain gear. Just cut a hole in the head and one for each arm and you're all set. You can use them as water barrier if you have to sleep on the ground. You can use them to keep the rain off your head by cutting them down the size to make the bag footprint larger. These can also be used to block out your windows. If something happens, you don't want your neighbors looking inside at your oil lamp. Garbage bags and duct tape go a long way. What do you think? Yes? Good stuff? I thought it was pretty interesting. I thought it was good. So, if you forget, we've been doing it for a while, there's always something we can get around here doing this. All right. Oh, where are we? I think that's all I want to talk about today. Hope you have a safe 4th of July. Remember the Patriots. You know, here's a quick thing for you. Ever hear of the 3%ers? Patriot group. Liberals hate them. The 3% is a reminder of our country's heritage. You're saying, what in the hell are you talking about, John? I'm going to tell you. You know, one of the things that we don't always learn or know about is this. During the American Revolution, only 3% of the population fought against the crown. That means 97% of the rest of the people, the colonists, did nothing, sat on their ass, or collaborated. 3%. Don't go telling me that in this day and age, we can't make a difference. We can. We are not outnumbered. I don't care what the mainstream media says, we are not outnumbered. We outnumber them. And just about, and everything. Everything that matters. The water bonds and the dildos, well, they obviously, you know, they outnumber us in that. But generally speaking, we outnumber them. Which brings me to my next point. Antifa, or Craptifa, is going to be very busy this summer. They've already started their nonsense. Remember, they only operate in areas where they have political cover. They will never, ever go outside the city of Chicago or Cook County. ever, because I don't have any political cover. My point is this. If you are going to be attending a counter-protest or a demonstration or a paid patriot prayer meeting, whatever, and you know those lunatics are going to be there, be prepared. Do what you have to do to protect yourself and others. Do not put up with any crap from them. They are counting on you being intimidated while they call each other Lord Dragon and rape each other and everything else that they do. They put the little black mask on, and they bitch about the Klan wearing white hoods. They're wearing black hoods. What's the freaking difference other than color tone? Nothing. Be prepared. Dawn posted something on Facebook today. Shows the armor. I don't want to call it body armor. I don't even know what the hell it is. Has a stab wound into it. These maniacs are asking for a revolution. They are asking for a civil war. And they just may get it. They may just get it. Do what you have to do. Protect yourself. Something else I want to bring up. Do not be afraid to declare yourself a conservative or you support the president. I don't care where you are. They want you to feel intimidated. They want you to feel outnumbered. They want you to shut up. They don't want you to declare yourself to be anything. They want you to be silent. Because if you're silent, silent implies consent. No. 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 Not happening. Do not be afraid to declare your support for the president while you're in public. Chances are there are others out there waiting to hear the damn same thing that you're saying, except they're too intimidated and afraid to say something. Don't be that patriot. Don't be that prepper. All right. That's all I've got for this episode. I'm John Jeffers here on the Contrario Network. Saying thanks for listening and have a good 4th of July. I'll plan to do a show on the day after. July 5. So enjoy your holiday. Remember, you're Americans. You're Americans first. Got it? Be a good patriot. Don't lie. Still, don't roll over for the liberal Marxist and the socialist. They aren't done. They want to take everything you have and redistribute it to others. They want to shut you up. They want you to think like them. Groupthink. Don't do it. All right. I'm John Jeffers here in the Jeffers Brief. Thank you for listening. Tell your friends about it. Don't forget to enter the July giveaways. We'll do this again on July 5th. Have a good one.